Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 145.
Correctamundo.
Brought to you by Parse Rum. I love Parse. You love Parse. I don't know if you guys know this, but if you're in the Illinois, Chicagoland area, just jump over to Benny's, get yourself a bottle of Parse, test it out. I actually got a message from our good friend, Bleacher Jeff, about the pronunciation of the place that I said in Chicago last week. So I'm going to correct myself. I'm going to apologize. And I'm going to correct myself. It is Nisei. Nisei Lounge in Chicago. Going to be doing some Parse cocktails in there. So stop by there, get a drink, and plant a tree. Tom, are you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. What's up?
We made Tom stay a little late today to do the episode and take
it. I don't want to be that guy, but Zach, was it we? I'm not saying who needed to push the time.
I'm great. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm excited to be here. A lot of great baseball topics to talk about. You know, it's the prime of the hot stove. It's cooking right now. Miguel Rojas extensions. We got it all going on.
Well, we're about like a week away from actual pitchers and catchers are next week, right?
Yep. For as much as we had to talk about, like, November, December, with everything that was going on in the market, we have the opposite of that to talk about with baseball right now. It is, I think right now it's the quiet period. It's the week before guys report and nothing is happening. I will say this. I am excited to get to Arizona. Seeing photos of guys working out at the complex and like hitting on the field and doing stuff
just kind of shows they want it more than you, honestly, because they're already there and you're not. So
it's one of those things where you're like, oh, look, all my friends are out there having fun. And like, you're like, yeah, I would actually like to be there and start having fun with my friends.
You got a lot of new friends this year, too.
A lot of new friends. But it's a little different than when you go, like when you have a team that has a lot of new people, but like you don't know them at all or haven't played against them. It's kind of like new friends that you know somewhat, and then they get to be better friends.
Are you going to be like when you get in school for the first day, like you have to go around and like talk about who you are, where you came from, how you got there? Like you guys have so many new people.
Rossi's going to stand up in front. They're going to do like popcorn reading, popcorn like introduction. Like, hey, I'm Ian Happ, left fielder. I'm from Pennsylvania, Ohio, Chicago, really wherever benefits me the most. And then like the next guy will go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be, we're going to do icebreakers and you're going to have to say like two facts about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We're all just going to sit in a big circle, I think, but I'm very excited to get out there. Zach, when are you leaving?
Super Bowl Sunday morning.
And who are you living with?
That's right. I'm living with my man, Scotty E.
I was texting Scotty today and we were talking a little bit about free agency process and he's like, man, like you should try to sign with the Tigers or Yankees. He goes, we got extra bedrooms. I go, that would be an absolute dream come true.
That'd be fantastic.
He told me you guys were living together and I was like, that's an epic move. So how far is it for you and how far is it for him?
No, it's only like 35 minutes from me. I think it's close. We're in Tampa, so it's close to him.
And he's
a lot of guys
the whole year while he rehabs. That's why it's closer.
Yeah. And a lot of guys from the Tigers live in Tampa anyway, just because it's way easier for housing, nicer area.
Nicer than Lakeland? Are you sure?
Come on.
No way.
Some may say.
Not you, but other people.
I've just heard everyone talking about how nice Lakeland is. That's
all I've heard.
I will say the facility is really nice. It's kind of new. But I was actually talking to Tucker Barnhart today and
friend of the pod.
Yeah. We were saying, I was talking to him last night. He played golf yesterday and I was like, oh, have you seen the facility yet? He goes, no, we got in last night. And I was like, oh man, like just wait, whatever. And he sent me a picture today of the weight room. He goes, yeah, this place. And I'm like, oh yeah, it does. They got the Gatorade station.
It's gotta be, the Cubs have gotta be like top five, like nicest spring training facility for sure. Right.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that the fact that you don't have to share it makes it pretty good.
Tigers don't share, do you?
No. There's, how about the Angels and a few other teams? I think the A's too, I'm not sure. Like their minor league and major league are completely like
different buildings,
different towns, basically.
Yeah.
Like you have to, you will not see a big leaguer or a minor leaguer if you're on one of those teams.
I haven't experienced that, but I don't like that because I'll tell you what, Zach, we experienced it, but like our first spring training, like you're walking in the weight room and it's all one huge weight room in Mesa. And you see Chris Bryant and John Lester and Jake Arrieta. It's like, wow, those are them. Like those are those guys. And Ian 100%. Happ. Sorry, and Ian Happ. And we saw Ian Happ, and we're like, ooh, Ian Happ.
It is. It's right. Cool. It's cool that we get to share it, and that you get the minor leaguers get to see the big leaguers, get to see the way guys go about it. Because we do. We share a cage too. So it's like there's eight cages in there, and the far left side is where the minor leaguers hit, and then there's big league cages. So right. Like you'll even get to see guys.
Right.
Going through their process, doing their work. Like if you wanted to swing by and catch a game or you wanted to go watch BP as a minor leaguer, you could do it. And I think it's great for the coaching staff too, to be able, cause like especially when I first came up or was in the minor leagues, and the minor league staff knew the big league staff so well and interacted so closely that it felt really like one big group. And you know, I experienced that more just because I was around the minor league staff. I can't speak to it as well now, but that feeling about the building and like the sense of the purpose in the building, was pretty cool when I was coming up.
I'll tell you what would be nice though, about two separate buildings. I wouldn't be nearly as afraid to go get a smoothie. Cause I'll tell you what, my first three spring trainings, even my first big league camp, I didn't go anywhere near where I would possibly get in like a big leaguer's way. Like I'm going to get lunch. I'm like, hey man, you go ahead. Like there's a line, like go ahead. Like, no, you're here first. I'm like, no. Come on, man. I'm a nobody. Yeah. You go ahead.
That's right. That's what.
Yeah. No, I'm saying you also like, kind of learn. And I don't want to say like you put like big leaguers on a pedestal, but you know what I mean? Like you learn, like they've been here. They have like seniority. Like you kind of let them go and you kind of learn the way of how it should be, I guess.
Right.
Because that's how you'd want to be treated when you get there. You
know? Yeah, like exactly. And
time and done it. And
yeah, not like fearing them, but having respect, you know, because it's respect. They're big leaguers. Like you give them the respect they're due.
Zach, how is the Tigers facility?
It's nice. It's nice. The weight room isn't nearly as big as the Cubs one. We have a huge turf field, which is nice to take some ground balls on. But we, as infielders, we don't do our early work on that field, which kind of stinks because we're doing like glove work, like on your knees, and like they're just peppering balls at you sometimes. And if you go, like I try to go on, like I'm usually, especially being a younger guy, well, younger ish guy, like not much service time guy. Yeah. I'll try to get out there first, and I like getting it done out of the way anyway, like before anybody else gets there. But like if you get there and the dirt in front of you is chopped up and dry, like I took one off the nose last year, one off the tooth the year before. Like, and part of me, I just want to be like, hey guys, listen, 15 feet away is a turf field. We are just working on like little presses right now. And like, I understand you're not going to take ground balls on turf, but all of us will just line up. We're just like, oh man, that turf looks nice.
You get really nice. You get right the now. Easy hops on turf though, don't you?
Yeah, like, but you're only working for like glove work right now.
It's you're just like getting loose.
Basically. Yeah. Like you're on your knees. They're hitting you a ground ball with one or two hops, so you can literally just like press through it. Like that's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're working on the fundamentals, so you want it to be a controlled environment.
Right. And then there's something like in the back of your mind, you see dirt all messed up. You're like, oh my God. And like, all right, come on, stay in front of it. And then like as soon as you see an in-between hop, you're like, yeah, I'm out. Okay, I'm gonna lay in this one.
Every spring when I was an infielder, every spring training, I would get popped in the chin or the nose or the eyeball. I got hit in the eye multiple times, like in the eye socket with balls. And it was like, it didn't matter if I felt great, if I wasn't feeling good. Every spring, it would just be like the field one gets hard and choppy. And like, I'd be going up to a ball, one hop, like face ball. I was just like, yep. God damn it.
And you're like, fuck this. I'm going to the outfield.
Dude, there's the one thing that I do not miss at all about playing infield is the drills when you had to be stationary, because I was always a guy that let my feet take me to hops. Like, I would read hops and I would let my feet get me there, and I wouldn't like, I just, if I would get stationary, I would get stuck and my hands didn't work well enough as an infielder to do that. So, because my hands slept.
Zach's looking down on you right now. Like, come on,
well,
bro.
It's too easy. I wasn't the best infielder in the world. There's a reason why I'm in the pasture now. But I would be on my knees doing these drills, or if you would do like a wide base drill, and like, it would just be, it was like a matter of time before I just got hit somewhere. It was like, bless it. I don't want to do like, I would hate those drills. I never wanted to do them.
The year, I think it was 2020, Moda, the infielding, I don't know, he was an infielding guy that year. I don't know what he is now, but like
bullpen catcher.
And they would do this one drill where you are literally stationary and they throw them up, and like they're doing self feed one hop as hard as like, and again, you're on the turf side of the batting cage where they throw their pens if it's raining.
Yeah.
And it's not very, I mean, it's only 60 feet, 6 inches from home to the mound, and they're in front of the dirt. So you're at like, what, you know,
50 feet,
50 feet, right. And they're just taking one hop, like, boom. And I had some of my iPad still, like, just still like views at me. And you can see me, like, I'll catch one. I'll look at it. I'm like, come on, what are we doing?
Like, it's like,
I get it. But
it's like PFPs when like RV would do the PFPs and he would just like toy with you. Like he'd fake like run away and then hit like a liner right back at you. Like it depends a lot on who's hitting you, the grounders, because some guys are just like, let's just get the work in. Like we'll hit some grounders. And there's other coaches that they're trying to light you up a little bit. Like they want you to miss.
It was one drill that when it was over, I was like, can't get over soon enough. If I make it through this without wearing a ball off my
body,
that's
the thing. Like, I love taking ground balls. I love doing glove work more than anybody. But when they say like, all right, Shorty, one more. And I'm like, come on, we can do this. Let's do it. You know,
if I was ever an infield coach, which I will never be, I would never do that to a player. I would never, ever do it. Cause same thing when I was playing infield, I love taking ground balls. I love being out there. I love turn double plays. Damn it, those drills made me so upset.
This is fun. Like in Detroit, when I was up last year, they did this thing, like same setup, but it was early work. So like you would do it. They had a machine set up low and probably like 15 feet away. They had a mat for, you know, what you have for step on for BP. And you would do like same thing. Like put in the machine and would just be a short hop. You press through it, whatever. But they had it like where the lines and like there was bumps in it and they would get in the way. And I'm like kind of not playing things to my side, but I'm like, has anybody, you know, can we just move this, like angle it this way where it's like flat? So like, no, come on, we gotta go. And I'm like, all right. So it's the same setup, except it wasn't as flat as in spring training with the Cubs, but the drill work is great, but at the expense of, you know, maybe your teeth, maybe your nose.
One of my favorite infield guys ever was Brian Butterfield, who was our third base coach. And, you know, Zach, you worked with him. But he would take us in the cage in Arizona on the backside. And so we would be on turf, and he would take the pitching machine and take the legs off and put it on the ground, and he would feed it. And so the hops were always true. Mm-hmm. And so you would do work on your knees there, and it was firm. But you had the confidence that you knew the hop was going to be true. And so doing those, you could do those drills that they're talking about, the glove work drills that guys want to do, but you have the confidence that the machine is going to spit out almost the same ball every single time. So there's no fungo error. And then you also had the confidence of the turf. And that was my biggest improvement as an infielder, I think, at the professional level, was the 2 years that I spent with him and got to do that stuff. And I had the most confidence I ever had as an infielder.
I love that's like low key one of my favorite parts, even in the off season, during the season. Like I love the glove work. It's not easy, but it's like you get instant gratification if you're doing it right. You know, it's like in the pocket every time.
It's easy for you.
Stop.
Those hands don't sleep.
It's almost meditative.
Yeah, no, 100%. 100%. And like you do a flat glove drill where it's like you try to, it's like a catcher when they block it. You know, they're trying to get it basically on the plate. And the same thing, like you're playing pepper, you're trying to get as many balls as you can in this small little area, and you get it, it's like, oh, that's sick. You know, it's like same thing taking BP, like, all right, hey, I'm going to hit five to the left center gap here, and you do it, and it's just like instantly like, oh, okay, I got better today. I know what I'm doing.
The reason why Zach is so good with the glove is because he drinks his Athletic Greens every single day. All athletes have one thing in common. They take care of their bodies just like Zach Short, and that starts with optimizing whole body health. Tell me about AG1, guys. Why do you take AG1?
Every morning. And like Dakota said, it doesn't taste bad. You can put it in your water. It's not like this sour veggie taste. It's good. I put it in my smoothie every morning, or if I'm running late, I'll just put in my water on the way to the gym. It's great.
Dakota, do you optimize full body health?
I do every day. And like Zach said, I think the best part about it is other greens and stuff like that, they taste terrible, and you got to mix it with like smoothies and other things to get the taste down. But these, I could just go upstairs and take a spoonful right now. No water, dry.
I've had it at 8 a.m. I've had it at 8 p.m.
Yeah, you're kind of a weirdo about it. I don't know if I'd like it first thing, but yeah.
If you get it, you get it.
Yeah, it's
maybe have it for dessert.
It's that good.
Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. athleticgreens.com/compound. That's athleticgreens.com/compound. Can we talk about the Super Bowl, guys? You guys are football guys.
We are football guys. You're a football guy. You're a football guy.
Yeah.
One of your three teams is the first overall pick. Do you know which one?
Good point. That's the Bears.
Nice.
The
Bears. Proud of you.
The Bears. I would like to do some predictions.
What a week for Arizona. Okay. I mean,
I messed up because I texted Zach and asked him when he was going to spring training, and he said Super Bowl Sunday. And I was like, it's going to be a madhouse, but I forgot they're in Florida, not Arizona. Arizona this weekend is going to be miserable. Ian, you're not going, you're going next week, right?
No, I am going after because I said, yeah, as much as I love golf and as much as I love football, I'm just going to hang out and not deal with it.
Did you see the field they have for the waste management,
bro,
too?
Everybody's playing
24
in it.
Yeah.
Everybody, which is funny because watching the Pro-Am, it's like you're seeing one every like 10 guys. You're like, oh, I think I've heard of him before.
Wait,
I think they're just like
Spieth right, and
let's
Hovland
talk,
plays
let's talk
this
golf.
Week. Well, we'll get to football. We thought of waste management.
No, I want
to
talk golf.
Tom's going to hate us.
No, like Zach said.
Tom's
like,
cutting it anyway. Let's just talk golf.
Like Zach said this last week, I think the biggest guys were like Hovland, Spieth, Justin Rose won it. That's a pretty big name.
Yeah.
But next week, like at a way, and the thing is, that's sick because it's such a cool tournament where like the crowd gets nuts. Like it's not your average golf tournament. And to have that many big name guys going is going to be sick. I'm surprised you're not going early, Ian, and going to watch that. I mean, you got some pull.
You're not playing in the Pro-Am.
You could probably go be a caddy for Rory. I don't know. Why not?
Yeah. You know what is cool? These two golf events back to back, like throughout the year, you'll get some events that maybe don't have as great of a field, maybe aren't as much fun to watch. Maybe it's in the middle of nowhere. But these two events back to back is like such a good time for golf because the AT&T Pro-Am is just like iconic. You get to see Pebble, guys are playing in it, like celebs are playing in it. It's a really fun event. And then you get right after that next weekend, Waste Management, which is a zoo. And then you get this amazing field. I know they're competing a hair with football this week, but really cool 2 weeks for golf.
But I bet I haven't looked. I'm sure the timing, like I'm sure they timed it up so that on Sunday they're not like finishing up as the Super Bowl is going on. Like I'm sure they found a way to
be
like,
playing.
All right.
Are they playing Wednesday to Saturday? Tom, can you check for us?
Because I would say if they weren't, why wouldn't they do it what they
should.
Did 2 weeks ago?
They just did that. Yeah, two weeks ago at Torrey Pines, they did Wednesday to Saturday, which was really smart to avoid football. But also, like Torrey Pines was an amazing event, and Hama's Whim was amazing. And so it's actually three great weeks for golf.
It's February 9 to 12. So, yeah, I think
that is Super Bowl Sunday.
That's 4 days, yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess the waste management and with the they want to take advantage of the two weekend days for that event. Like,
yeah,
I know that the maybe the
party.
television maybe the television audience will suffer a hair, but in person.
Dude, how many of those golfers are just going to go straight from Phoenix to Glendale? You know some of them are going.
No, well, what?
If you miss the cut, you are searching for tickets instantly, right?
Yeah, like, but even if you make it, I mean, you're not going to be playing. I mean, it might be a take a while to get there, but I don't see guys.
How many guys are going to be out in Disaster Square that weekend if they don't make the cut just watching Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
Good amount.
What a place.
Oh, man, I love it. We went to that a few times. That was awesome.
Zach, do you think that you could have beaten Aaron Rodgers and won the celebrity prime?
They were nasty. Hey, he's getting nine shots, you said, or 10 shots?
It's a handicap event, so I don't know. That format, Zach would smoke
them. There's a lot of baggers out there.
You'd smoke them.
I love that. Wait, Zach, can you tell me, watching the event after just playing the golf courses, what was the...
It was awesome because, honestly, I could tell by, like, how the greens were set up, which hole it was on for Pebble and Spyglass. And then watching Pebble, obviously, just not laughing, but laughing at how bad the weather was for a few of those days. Dude. And just being like, I mean...
Did you see on Sunday, it was like a flash rainstorm? And it was only supposed to be like 5 to 10 minutes. So they're like, they brought on like the whatever, someone that works for the PGA or worked for the tournament. And they're like, yeah, like it's supposed to be a quick one. So we're just playing through it. And guys are like lined up their shots, like shielding their eyes. Dude, and like, what's going on?
The pins were like this. Dude, like, it was almost getting ripped out of the green.
But it literally was like 5 minutes and then it was sunshine.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's
it's crazy because at Pebble, obviously, you're right on the water. Mm-hmm. But if you go to like Spanish Bay, a few holes are on the water, but then you're playing up in the forest and it's not nearly as windy. And they were having like a side by side. It's like, all right, this is at Pebble and this is 5 minutes down the street and there is no wind.
And they were showing like holes on the water were getting a ton of rain. And then they'd cut to like hole, whatever one that wasn't on the water. And it's like, oh, it's sunshine here. There's zero rain. I'm like,
crazy.
By the way, I just looked at it for the record. They're gonna play till 6 o'clock. Their window ends at 6 o'clock Eastern, which is until kickoff. So they're on from
You're gonna see some guys throwing some putts.
That's kind of perfect, but that's kind of perfect for us, the viewers, because it's like, oh, like I'm gonna watch the end on finish up the waste management straight into the Super Bowl.
Dude, they know exactly what they're doing. Why would they? It's literally you have a 30-minute break. Go get some food. Go to the bathroom. Hang out. Make a drink. All right, we got foosball. One more week.
Can we talk about football? Can we talk about the Super Bowl? What do you guys?
Who's the Super Bowl brought to us by?
What do you not like? Super Bowl's brought to us by DraftKings. This is biggest Sunday in sports. It's arguably is the biggest Sunday in sports. I mean, biggest Sunday of the year as it pertains to the Super Bowl. Plus, maybe can you bet on golf and DraftKings? I bet you can.
You can.
Code Compound. New customers can bet $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get 200 in bonus bets instantly only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code Compound. If you could hit a little golf bet, maybe a couple guys in the top 10 that you're going to bet on, that hits, then you go over to the Super Bowl, you get a bunch of bets there, you get Gatorade color type bets, all kinds of shit, the coin toss, the national anthem length, it's all there.
If you think that I don't take every single prop available, you just don't know me. I've bet tails every single Super Bowl. I think it's lost the last two, if I remember correctly. Tails never fails.
Gross.
Tails never fails is how I live my life. Because if I'm ever given call it, like I'm saying tails. Because if I call heads, I'm a psychopath. Why would you call
heads?
Do you also bet on the
anthem length?
I have done that once and I bet the over and it was under. And I was like, well, I'm probably not going to do that anymore. Because you always see, there's always like these leaks and you never know if you can trust them. It's like, oh, I don't know who's doing the anthem this year, but it's like, oh, like they did a practice run and there was someone outside the stadium and they said it ran for 2 minutes, 18 seconds. I'm like, oh, I'm betting the over. And then they do the actual thing. It's like 140. I'm like, you weren't close. Like you're lying.
Yep.
Well, that's a Vegas plug. That's a Vegas plug. It's somebody just plugging it in there.
But that's what I mean. Sometimes you're like, maybe this is a real person that heard it. And I'm like, they know what they're talking about. Or it's like the Gatorade color. Like, oh, this person works for the team. They're going orange.
Like, maybe you send JY out there outside the stadium, make him record and listen, get a timer out, and then have him report back.
You better be nice to JY in camp this year too. That's my boy.
Chris Stapleton, by the way, is doing the
oh over. He's putting on a show.
What do you want to guess the over under? It's exactly
what it's set at.
Oh yeah, 230. 230.
He's gonna say two because he said exactly.
It's well, no, it's 119.5 seconds, which is, you know, 0.5 seconds away from 2 minutes. So it's basically 2 minutes.
No, that's two oh, minutes 40 seconds.
No.
Am I an idiot?
How's your math, man?
How many seconds are in a minute?
Seconds, 120 seconds.
I thought you said 100 seconds in a minute. I thought you said 199.
No, 119.
No, I swear. Yeah, I thought you said 100. I swear to God.
No, no, no. Yeah.
You listen, no, man. I know. That's what you
thought.
You
hand to God, I thought he said 199 no, seconds. No. So that's why
Michigan
I said
State, everyone. That Michigan State education.
I didn't graduate. That's not a secret.
Wait, I'll take the I'll take the under on that.
If we're talking performance. Rihanna at halftime? Are you kidding?
Oh, who
I'm
was,
gonna be like? I'm literally gonna be like the mom in Mean Girls when she's videotaping and was doing that dance with the camera in her hand.
I forget if it was. I think it was like Mecole Hardman might have tweeted it. I think
no.
It was
yes. Hardman. Yes. Yeah.
He tweeted. He goes, serious question. Like, am I allowed to stay on the field for halftime? Like, he's like, am I allowed to watch the show? Like, I'm being serious. And that's what I'm saying. I'm like, that's gonna be an absolute. Dude. Blast.
She is the goat, bro.
That's Zach walked up to her. That was his walk-up song.
Yep.
Are you guys avoiding talking about football? I'm not sure. I've asked like
we are talking. This
is literally an actual game. Ian, like usually at the Super Bowl, they have
team. You haven't talked about any players.
You haven't talked about anything. I just talked about Mecole Hardman. He's a receiver for the Chiefs. The Super Bowl is like an event. It's like a show. It's half a show. Like the game's like, it's one game. Like I'm used to consuming seven games at a time. One game at a time. I got a million. Like it's a show. They're putting it on for us.
Hey, yeah, Ian. Usually at these Super Bowl shows, they have a halftime show as well. Mm-hmm. And it's Rihanna who's performing at the Super Bowl is what football is. So like, yeah, we're talking football. We're chopping football right now.
Do you want to mention the teams? Do you want to mention the players?
It's Jalen Hurts. He's quarterback. Miles Sanders, running back. A.J. Brown's a receiver. Devontae Smith's a receiver. Dallas Goedert's a tight end. They got a really good offensive line. Jason Kelsey's a center. Lane Johnson's a tackle. For the Chiefs, you got Patrick Mahomes, Isaiah Pacheco, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman.
Who do you like? What team do you like, all right? What team do you like?
I would never bet against Patrick Mahomes.
Can't do it.
He's like – I can't say he's like Brady, but he's
Superman.
Like Brady.
He's
one of those where it's like, it's similar to say it's like the NBA finals and it's game seven and it's like Lakers Nets. We'll just say Nets. I don't know why. It just came to my head.
My man.
Like, are you betting against LeBron James? Like, I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes. And Jalen Hurts is very good. The Eagles are very good. Their offensive line's unreal. Their defense line's unreal, but it's Patrick Mahomes and it's Travis Kelce.
Tom, who you got?
I got a bad feeling. I think the Eagles are going to win.
I don't want the Eagles just because the city of Philadelphia is insufferable. No offense if anyone's from there, but it's just the facts of life.
I'm another Giants fan.
Phillies, I'd still love to play for you. Love Philly. Philly. Philly, baby. Want some cheesesteaks.
If Dakota signs the Phillies, I have to tweet out that clip of him saying that all.
I don't know, Tom. They don't like take jokes in Philadelphia. That's the thing. Like, it's like you can't even, like, if someone. Say Patrick Mahomes in college said like, oh, I hate Philadelphia. They would murder him today. Like it wouldn't matter. Like they don't care. They're psychos. And I love it. Like if you play there, I bet it's unbelievable because you know that the fans would probably die for you to win the game. But they're crazy.
Crazy.
But yes,
it's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs are on an unbelievable run. And it'll be a fun game to watch. And I heard Rihanna's doing the halftime show.
Shut up. Ian, you know who's fun to watch? You won't like this. Zach will agree with me. You won't like this because I don't think there's any way you saw it. Tom will have seen it. Isaiah Pacheco, the running back for the Chiefs. You'll never see someone run the football more like angry. That guy runs the football pissed off, and I love watching it. He's a guy, he's looking to hurt you when he's running the football. Like he's running at you. He wants to knock you over. So look for that, Ian. That's my thing for you to look for. Get back to me on if you notice that.
Okay, I'll report back on that.
Thank Ian, you. Are you gonna watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I'll watch Super Bowl. Yep.
Yeah,
yep. Watch it.
The Chiefs also are kind of banged up, which is another fear because Juju Jalen got hurt.
I saw this stat about Jalen Hurts. He's like 0 for however many from 15 yards and longer in the playoffs throwing the football.
False.
No.
He threw the long one to Devontae Smith the first drive of their last game for 41 yards.
Hey.
Or like 30 yards or something.
Didn't count.
Like
it was a drop.
It technically was a drop, but
it was a drop.
He might be one for, but I know that that was over.
Correct, but that was a drop.
It did hit the ground, and I can't believe they didn't challenge that. But yeah, the Chiefs are banged up too. Juju got hurt. Kadarius Toney got hurt. Ankles.
But they got, don't they got some time? They got 2 weeks in between games.
Yeah, and I think those guys will end up playing, but it's people look. I've thought about this the other day. When we like think of injuries, like I think of it like, oh, it's a Super Bowl. Like you have to play. But like, think about it. Like if you got like a high ankle sprain, Ian, and it's like, oh, it's the World Series. It's like, what if I can't walk? Like some injuries are literally like, this guy can't play. Like he's
hindered. But I will say the playoffs, unlike for, I mean, football's different, but unlike the regular season where you are thinking about like the general length of the season and like you have to, sometimes you do have to take a few days to, for the greater good. In the playoffs, you can take as many drugs as it's just like, oh, I'm going to blow it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you numb yourself out kind of for,
they'll shoot you with cortisone in your injury the day of, like the morning of. They're like, hey, go
get it. Yeah.
Tordal.
You get Tordal, which is just unbelievable. Or like something. So like that you can, so that you can get through it. And then like, cause you don't care about ending your season. Like, right. Like you don't care. Like at that point,
it's
you don't
like all
care if you blow it out and you can't play, cause it's like, well, it's over anyway. Mm-hmm. But also I think football is similar, but they do that like on a weekly basis, I think, just to get themselves to play. So, I mean, how much extra can you do in football? But I do think like all those guys will do whatever they have to do to play. And if they get a quarter in and it's like, hey man, you're not, this is, doesn't look good.
Yeah. And that's what like, I mean. Like
say, the next guy, it's the next guy up, but
say someone separated their shoulder and it's like, hey, go tackle someone. Like, I know your shoulder's separated and like, we just fixed it, but like, go make a tackle of a running back running full speed at you. Like, go get him.
They, so I just looked it up. Jalen, 4-12, Jalen Hurts is down the field. You're right. Anyway, they said Mahomes didn't take anything.
Yeah, before the game. They said,
before
I think they said during the week,
he didn't get any shots.
But they said he did like 4 hours of treatment a day. And you know, like they're probably rubbing on, they're putting everything on there.
But which is crazy because I feel like 4 hours, like, honestly, like, isn't that long a day for treatment? Like,
well, there's only so much you can do too.
No, I know, but that's what, like, usually you hear like, oh, this guy was waking up every hour in the night to make sure that he was putting stim on his ankle or something. Like I've heard those stories where they're like, yeah, he had to do it throughout the night. But like, I would have bet my life that he was like, yeah, you know, we had to take Tordal, but he was just like, yeah, I didn't take anything before that game. It's like, all right, this is a fucking 6 to 8 week injury. How are you playing on 8 days?
Well, and Kelsey before that last game, they said he had like back issues.
Back spasms.
And that's another one of those. It's like, if your back starts spasming, like there's nothing we can do for you, man. Like you just got to wait for him to stop.
They were, dude, take a muscle relaxer and then go play. It's like,
I was listening to his podcast with his brother just about this last week. And they were joking, you know, he's like, yeah, dude, like second to last play on Friday's practice, like I landed wrong or whatever, and my back like locked up. And then they were saying, he was like, bro, I didn't know if I was going to play Sunday morning. Like I woke up and I couldn't like squat. I couldn't move my back at all. And then his brother, Jason, was like, oh, did you take anything? And he was just like, yeah, you know, a little bit of more vitamin T. And they were like, oh, vitamin T. He goes, yeah, vitamin T. I don't leave the house without it. Just talking
as in,
about
Tordal. As in Tordal, yeah.
Yeah, right. Which is crazy. It's just nuts how, like you said, as soon as that playoff light goes on, it's like, hey, man, pharmacist, here we go. Come on.
And that's what I mean. Like, guys will do anything to be able to play in the playoffs because it's like, if you lose, man, there is no next game. Like, you have 6-8 months for next year. But I get, like, some people, like, fans that don't, like, know sports and, like, know injuries are more the one where, like, they call guy like, oh, he's a pussy. Like, he didn't play. I'm like, you don't know how much that hurts. Like, you, if a guy, like I said, separated shoulder, yeah, go make a tackle.
Well, we saw with Brock Purdy, right? Everyone was like, oh, he could throw the ball. And then he actually needs TJ now.
He needs TJ. So
he tore his UCL. And trust me,
and he threw the ball like three more times after.
Throw the football. He would throw like little dump down, but like, you can't throw. It's not like a lack of trying or like a pain thing. It's like, no, you don't have the muscle needed to throw.
I could
actually do the thing.
People, literally
on Twitter, they were like,
"Waking
oh,
up,
man.
All right,
like,
hey,
yeah, seriously, what are you gonna do? Yawn into the mic in the middle of the episode? We asked you for an hour a week.
Pull
just
it together.
Talk to us.
Sorry, go ahead. Howie doesn't want to talk.
Mac, I need you to talk. If you're, it's a podcast. We got to get you to talk.
Anyway, I forgot honestly. What was he?
Oh,
we
you were mid yawn. I didn't even hear the words.
We can move
All
on.
I saw was you
just, why don't you take a nap, Dakota? And I'll take it from here. I want to talk about a baseball thing because we haven't talked about a lot of baseball. I know this is the time of year when there's not much to talk about. So what does everybody do this time of year? They do predictions and they do rankings and they do all types of stuff. I want to hear your opinion, all three of you, all three.
The Yankees win the World Series.
About predictive analytics. Predictions, rankings, like you come out, like they come out with these rankings. And they're like top 10 shortstops this year. And then like you look back and it's like none of the guys, it's like two of the guys were like the best shortstops of the year. They also do like the prospect stuff. They do like top 10 prospects. Look out for these guys. And then somebody tweeted like a 2011 top 10 prospects and like four of them. The top 10 prospects.
Ian, I was literally about to start reading you this list. Can I read you the list? I just pulled it up. This is the 2011 top 50 MLB prospects list.
I'm guessing we haven't heard of a lot of these guys.
Well, number one, you've probably heard of. His name's Mike Trout. Number two, Jeremy Hellickson. Right one spot in front of Bryce Harper. Then Dominic Brown, Dustin Ackley are four and five. Aroldis Chapman is six. Then there's a pretty good list here. Moustakas and Hosmer, back-to-back Kansas City guy, 7-8. Jesus Montero, the Yankees' failed catching prospect, is 9. Julio Teheran is 10. That's the top 10.
And a lot of those guys had very good big league careers.
I was going to say, they've had some good players in there.
And were very productive, but like it just goes to show that it's not like it's not a given. And like people get so fired up about these predictive stats or rankings. And I'm not talking about just prospects. I'm talking about the big league stuff too. I'm talking about like the big league analytics and predictions. And it's just like, I don't understand why people spend so much time predicting things unless it's just there's nothing better to do.
What I was going to say is put it this way. And I saw this list and I thought this was like from last year, like these are the best 10 starting pitchers. Now, I'm not knocking this person. He's way better than I am. But like Rodon was number three. I'm like, that's the third best starting pitcher in all of baseball. No way.
Guy punched my ticket twice. He's
but
next.
I mean, there's come on. I think like DeGrom was like nine. I'm like, DeGrom. I'm
pretty sure they
better.
Said Gerrit Cole wasn't a top 10.
No, he wasn't on there. I'm like, what am I looking at?
Yeah. And like the thing is like predicting seasons and stuff. It's like you don't know who made a swing change. You don't know like what they're doing and like I understand. I was actually thinking about this the other day. Like in college, they would always have like, oh, the Northeast Conference, like player of the year prediction. And I'm just like, oh, fuck yeah. I'm looking to see who they're having in there. You know, that's bulletin board material. But it's like, it's insane how much like time and like stock people put into these type of things.
And I get like the writers or whatever, the analytic guys that do it, like they have a job, like they're just trying to get people talking, but
you're
like
putting content out there. Right.
And that's what I mean. But then people like fans get like pit, like, how the fuck is this guy not like chill out? Like this means literally nothing. It literally means nothing.
Nothing.
It's a projection.
The only time we've ever really done any predictions on this show that I can think of as of lately was it when in November we talked about the Rangers and Ian and I made a bet about whether or not they were going to win 84 games. The number of comments we got on that specific YouTube video about how we're disrespecting the Rangers and they lost 12 games by one run last year and we're disrespecting. I was like, what is going on? It's November and it's the Texas Rangers. Like, why is it? Why are you locked in?
I love that our content is getting that kind of reaction. That just makes me happy.
And that's what
we have. I would like to know or like to see how often the predicted stats are within like an acceptable range of accurate. Like I bet last year, going into last year, I bet I was projected for like 1.9 or 2 WAR. Like, I bet you I wasn't projected to have a 2 WAR last year, right? And like 3.5 and 4.4. It's like no one could have, like, no one put that in a projection. Like, you should have no idea. And like, how many times the guys that have down years, because it happens, how many times is it like, this guy's gonna have a 4 WAR, there's 3, that's pretty high. I don't know. How many times is this guy gonna be like 3.5 WAR, and the guy's like 1?
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, the model. I don't know. I was in the model.
If anything, I wouldn't want, like, if I'm Ewing, I wouldn't want to be on there. Because if anything, like you said, I don't want to say bulletin board material, but like, if anything, it like will like rev you up. Like, oh, they think these 10 guys are going to be better than me. Like, I'm going to beat all these guys. Like, if you're on there and you're number one, it's like,
I will say it is kind of crazy. They will predict teams like wins. They're pretty close, a bunch of guys.
Yeah. They are pretty good with a lot.
Is
of
that?
Those,
but is that
nuts.
Like the? Is that like Pekka, Vegas? The, is that like the, Vegas or is
no,
that like
the Fangraphs? The Pekka, right? The Pekka thing or whatever. What is it called? Tom, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think it's. I was gonna say Petco, but that's not
right. That's where the Padres play.
I wish somebody would put it out there at the end of the year and be like, here was what this thing projected for wins, and then like, here's the actual number. Well,
Ian, do you want, this is actually pretty crazy. This, I will admit, say at the top, this one's fairly accurate, which is pretty insane. So I found this one from your projections. This is from a fantasy baseball article from 2022 at the beginning of the year. They projected you to hit 241. Your slash was 241, 337, 456 with 25 homers, 70 RBIs and 68 runs scored. You ended up slashing 271, 342, 781. With 17 homers and 72 runs scored. So
but that was a projection based on the old balls. Like, that would have been probably a 105 OPS plus or runs created plus in the previous year.
Yeah.
So that's a projection. But so like, you don't know, like, if the balls are going to change or if, you know, if there's just so many things to go into it. And I would love, like, I just there, and there's so many different projections and so many different models and so many different ways that, and I just don't understand how people spend so much and they get so worked up.
You hate advanced analytics. I don't hate them.
There's things so good about them, but there's the players play the, like, there's humans that go play the game. And I just think, like, the amount of time and energy that's spent and the amount of, like, faith that's put into projections, that they're not held accountable for their projections. It's not like the next year people come in and they're like, we're never going to trust them again because they missed Aaron Judge's WAR by 6 WAR.
The only time it ever comes back up, by the way, real quick before I forget, Zach, it's the PECOTA, P-E-C-O-T-A.
PECOTA. PECOTA. What did I say? Petka?
Yeah. You said Petka. The only time it gets brought back up is if, like, I feel like it's more often, like, if they're way off, like they say, like, say how we said, oh, the Rangers won't win 84 games and they go out and win 104. It's like, oh, look at you idiots. Like, you guys.
Well, that's,
us.
I think,
like,
last year, how many games did the Rangers win last year?
I believe it was 68 or 69.
And they were projected to win like 84.
Yeah.
And like the Angels were also projected to win 84 and won a similar number. But I don't hate advanced analytics, especially when they're like runs created plus or like things that are assessing something that actually happened. I don't hate those. Predictive analytics, I think, make less sense to me than even the other ones. But like, just people get so worked up about it.
I was going
to
say, you're mad about people getting mad about it. Like, you're not mad about the predict. You're mad about people getting mad about it.
Because I don't care. Like, my projection or like where it doesn't matter to me because I know that it's just poof made up. Somebody made something up. And then it's become like gospel. And it's like, oh, look at this lineup. I don't know. They're projecting to have 76 WAR for all of their players. It's pretty good. It's like, yeah, but it doesn't matter at all.
I agree. And people look at it and exactly like you said, like they look at it like gospel. Like, I don't know, like they're projected to be good. It's like, okay, like they still have to go out and be good. You
still have to go out and play. And that's the beautiful thing about the game. And I know it's a down time. We don't have a ton to talk about in the baseball landscape, but bless me are like the amount of predictive stuff. Oh my goodness. Okay. Tom, what do you think about predictive stuff?
What do I think about predictives? I mean, I think.
Do you get excited about it? You get excited? You're like, ooh.
Yes and no. I mean, yes, because it's like that's the start of a new season. And so you automatically get excited when you're like, all right, we're getting into like a new season. Like when you get pitchers and catchers reporting and all that kind of stuff. So that predictive stuff is kind of part of it. And obviously, at a place like John Boy Media, you know, we run baseball today every day. You know, Chris Rose and Trevor Plouffe got to talk about something, you know. So I understand the need for it. But no, I mean, I don't think it's like I don't really take that much stock into it. You know, it's like, great. Who cares? It's like all the preseason polls in college basketball and college football, like those actually matter a little bit because like ultimately, if you view a team as a top 10 team at the start of the year, that changes kind of how they're pulled out the rest of the year. But like, at least in this, it doesn't matter at all. You know, like whatever people say about how you're going to play doesn't matter till opening day, you know?
What's your topic for us?
This came from my father and it was his birthday today. So happy birthday to my dad, Steve.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
This is a topic we talk a lot about, North Carolina women's field hockey, very popular topic on the show. They just named their best player in their program's history. She's like a four-time All-American, greatest player of all time. Their head coach at age 23. She won a national championship in December and now will be the head. It's now the head coach.
Don't say that just won a national champ. She has won like 100 players of the year in a row.
Yes.
Like no, she is. Yeah.
But she most recently won a national championship in literally the past year.
Yes. Correct.
And now she's going to be the head coach. So he thought that might be an interesting topic for, especially because the Cubs, obviously, I mean, I know you weren't teammates with Rossi, but you obviously have some familiarity with going from teammate now to manager. Although this is certainly not anything like this.
That is nuts.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how this works out. I'm now locked in on North Carolina field hockey. This is very exciting.
Kind of love that.
Do you think you could have coached a team at 23 years old?
When I say, yeah, like say you played all 4 years of college and then the very next year, you're the head coach.
I mean, even the pitching coach, think if you came back and you had just played, I mean, I guess she's like unbelievable, maybe the best to ever do it. But like, imagine you just finished up at Michigan State and then it was like, you know, now you were going to go be the pitching coach for your buddies.
That would just be weird just because the relationships you have with the guys you played with. Thing is, there's also like fifth year seniors and stuff like that. So it's like guys you came into college, girls you came into college with, you're now their head coach. And it's like, all right, like, so you want to go have a beer? Like practice is over. Like,
that's what I'm saying. How do you not just go blow it out with the boys?
Yeah. Like,
and there's got to be some tough decisions in field hockey to sit and play. And
it's tough.
That's a lot of weight to put on a 23 year old, but I believe in her.
Did their old coach retire?
Yes, the old coach famously also started at age 23. So there's some sort of, I mean, granted, that was also like 19. If she coached like 35 years, that was a long time ago.
Okay,
but I'm curious. I mean, I think as a player, I would have a lot of trouble listening to a coach that was like my teammate 6 months ago.
Yeah,
I mean, that just seems like that'd be like to me. That'd be like, how am I listening to this person? They were running suicide with me 2 weeks ago.
Unless it's like the only person, real quick. Ian, I feel like the only person I could like look at it as is like, say Jay Hay became a coach, like everyone would still listen to Jay Hay, correct? Like someone like that.
Yep. I think it sounds like this girl is very well respected and the best to ever do it. I think that there's a world in which if you're not a militant coach and you're more of a like encouraging, positive. And the team just won the national championship, so obviously they do a lot of things well.
They've won they've won like four of the last five. So she's taking over a program that's rolling.
Yeah. So if the program's rolling and you're not trying to turn something around from scratch, you're just encouraging them to keep doing what you're doing. It's been great. Like, I don't know.
How many comments do you think she'll get? Like if they lose, like, oh man, wish we could still have you out there this year. Like dad in the stands would be like, man, if only we could have you for one more year. Shoot.
The one thing I would say if it was my teammate and then my teammate was like, come on, run harder. Be like,
shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saw you puke after we went to the bar on a Saturday. Like, I'm not listening.
Yeah.
To
get out of here.
The other thing is also a 23 year old going into people's houses and recruiting is a very fun sight to me.
That's nuts.
There's no way a field hockey girl or any coach is going to, like, do they even do that in baseball?
But what?
Go to your house and recruit you? Or is that like football?
Michigan State came to my house.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, I ain't got much shit.
It was the hitting coach, but he's like the recruiting coordinator.
I mean,
and he came to my house and like.
You were a big deal, huh?
Pretty impressive.
Well, they had no money to give me. So I think it was like, hey, we gotta get this guy for $0. So we got to be nice to him.
Imagine it worked. But like, imagine if like Mike Trout was the hitting coach and he was telling you how to hit. You'd be like, all right. I mean, yeah.
You'd listen to him, right?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's
like, tell me what you did.
I think it's okay. Cause it's like, hey, like you were the best. Like if you know, like you, but it's more like the schemes and like tactics of stuff that is hard to just like learn on the fly without any coaching experience. Like she was a great player, obviously, but it's like, I don't know. I mean, it was kind of the same when Rossi managed Lester. Like they were friends.
Yeah.
And then it's like, hey, John, like you're done. Give me the ball. And he's like, get the fuck off the mound. And he's like, can't say that. I'm the manager. Go to the dugout.
Yeah. It's kind of there are some similarities and like being and like having someone that's that well respected that can take over. Can we get a subscription to wherever you watch North Carolina field hockey?
I'll have to ask my dad. He's locked in. I truthfully have not watched. I'm field hockey, not my favorite sport, truthfully.
Can we stream this?
I think it's on ESPN Plus or, you know, one of those subsidiaries.
But Tom, I do agree. I think it's different college than it is like pro ball. Like pro ball, you're all adults. Like, you know what I mean? Like the coach when they're done playing is 30s, 40s, yeah. Like 23. I agree. The age is kind of weird. But at the same time, Zach said like the recruiting, I think the program like recruits for itself. Like you win that many natties. It's like, all right, like this is still the best place to go. Like no matter what, if Georgia hired Stetson Bennett as their head coach, it's like, well, it's still Georgia.
That would be hilarious. They should do that.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Also, North Carolina is like a great place to go to school.
Like, way
not,
better than
not
Duke.
Really that hard to recruit
way
to go
cooler
be a
than Duke. I've heard
way better than Duke.
Not better at football, but way cooler. Better in the John era.
Should we give the people a screen time?
Let's do it.
Oh, I had a good day.
I had a bad day, and I'm gonna say before I talk about Sloan for a second, I'm gonna say that I was in the car for a long time today. I drove around and I had my GPS on, and it's gonna be high.
Doesn't it connect to your phone or to your car?
Yeah, but that makes your screen time go.
No,
I don't know if you know this.
You could close your phone.
Even if your phone is closed, if it's on Apple CarPlay, you get screen time.
That's not true.
Eyeballs. Someone that's listening to this, please tweet at us.
Tell these guys
that that's how it works.
I was on Maps today for a while, and it'll
show up on the app.
It says 1 minute.
Okay, wait till you see mine. Sloan is the world's leading manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems. Companies at the forefront of green building. Movement. The green building movement provides smart, sustainable, hygienic restroom solutions by manufacturing water-efficient products, including flush-o-meters, faucets, sink systems, soap dispensers, and fixtures for commercial, industrial, and institutional markets worldwide. Visit Sloan.com. What an ad read from Sloan, huh? Did you guys hear that?
It was well done.
Faucets, sink systems, soap dispensers, and fixtures. And guess what? Flush-o-meters. You ever heard of a flush-o-meter?
How about, guess what, Ian? You go next week, you're allowed to use the bathroom again.
Oh, my God. I'm going to use the bathroom so many times.
Since it's called Sloan Park, can you just pee on the field?
That's a good point. It's got to have, like, underground flushing somewhere, like, throughout the drainage system.
I think Sloan also did the irrigation system. What's your screen time?
4:46.
5:26.
Hey, got him beat.
I felt pretty good about my number.
If I'm ever in the fours, I'm happy. Anywhere in the fours or low fives, I'm like, all right, that was pretty good. It's when I get into six where it's the red zone where I'm like,
mine, danger. 2:42.
That's a hell of a day, son. Proud of you. I'm proud of you for that.
I want an audit. I need an audit.
Are you getting a haircut before spring?
Yeah, I'm getting chopped up tomorrow.
What are you doing all day?
It's looking a little long.
I had some things to do. I took some ground balls. Took the ground balls at Yale today.
Yo, you smart?
Did you feel out of place being there?
You're damn right. We would play them every year, and like somebody would get to second, I'd be like, hey, man, is it as hard as they say it is?
I had 3 hours and 26 minutes, and I would just like to say,
shut up.
I want to apologize because I yelled at you guys about the Google Maps and I only had 10 minutes of Google Maps. So I don't think that thing that I said,
he was so sure about it.
That thing that I said about showing up on your phone, I don't think
I was
going to
say, if your screen's locked, how would that count as screen time?
I just want to apologize because I thought that that was how it was, but I don't think that actually is how it is. So I yelled at you guys about something that I don't
think.
So think
about all those times throughout the years that he said that, like, hey, I was driving a lot today. I was on my
My Google Maps number is low, so I'm not going to say it wasn't that. So Sloan.com for flushometers. Go check him out. That's episode
145
of the Compound Podcast, brought to you by Parsay Rum. Go to Benny's, get your Parsay, make a Parsay cocktail, make a rum drink. Next time we talk, I won't be in camp yet. Will you guys be?
That was mean.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. As soon as it came
you
out of my
caught
mouth.
Yourself as soon as you
as
said
it. As soon as it came out of my mouth. That's episode 145. See you next week.
I'm going to puke.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.